This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're here to, you know, cut through all that static, the constant headlines, and really get to the essential insights shaping our world. It feels like every single day there's a new AI story breaking, doesn't it? One minute it's promising to solve everything, the next it's raising completely new problems we hadn't even thought of. Honestly, keeping up feels like a full-time job. So our mission today is simple. Give you a shortcut. We've gone through, well, a stack of sources, the latest articles, research, expert takes from September 12, 2025, to pull out what really matters. The idea is to give you clarity, confidence, help you grasp the core of these rapid changes without getting totally lost in the noise. Today, we're looking pretty broadly. We'll hit on shifting alliances between the big tech players, some tricky ethical questions about kids and AI. Plus, AI is really surprising roles now in classrooms, government, even solving these incredibly complex math problems that have stumped people for ages. Ready to dive in?
Absolutely. And what's really striking, I think, is how those foundational relationships, especially between the tech giants, are, they're being redrawn almost in real time. It's not just business deals anymore. It really impacts who holds the keys to building the future of AI.
That's a great point, a critical one. And speaking of those relationships, let's unpack this Microsoft and OpenAI next phase.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing about a non-binding MOU, a memorandum of understanding, but it sounds like more than just stage setting. Feels like a real power shift. Can you maybe elaborate on how changing that AGI clause really alters the landscape, not just for them, but for the whole AGI race? And I'm curious, does this also sort of pave the way for OpenAI to eventually go public? Is that clearer now?
Exactly. You see non-binding and think it's preliminary, but the reported change to that key clause, that's anything but minor. Before, if OpenAI's board decided, okay, we've hit AGI, you know, human-like artificial general intelligence.
Yeah.
Microsoft's access to that really cutting-edge tech could potentially be restricted.
Ah, okay.
The new agreement apparently changes that specific point. So Microsoft gets much more assured access if OpenAI hits AGI. It secures their strategic spot, gives them a clearer path to integrate it, and yes, clarifying Microsoft's equity stake in the for-profit arm, that's absolutely a critical, almost preparatory step for any IPO. Investors would definitely demand that kind of structural clarity.
Okay, so it's definitely not just a handshake. It's strategic. Huge implications for AGI development and, like you said, who influences its deployment, control, and future pathways. But, you know, as they scale up, OpenAI isn't just leaning on Microsoft for compute power, right? There's also this massive Oracle deal, $300 billion for cloud computing. That number is just staggering, isn't it?
It truly is. And that level of spending, it really highlights a key concern raised by Gartner's Chirag Dikay. Mm-hmm. He points out that, you know, while everyone's excited about generative AI, it hasn't quite delivered on the hype in terms of actual value return. Not yet, anyway. Mm-hmm. Dikay's observation is that the infrastructure spending, like this huge Oracle deal, is actually outpacing the AI revenues coming in, which raises a pretty big question.
Yeah.
Are we, as a market, rewarding risk-taking and just building scale more than we're rewarding, you know, actual value?
That's the stark contrast. All this money flowing in, but the revenue isn't keeping pace. This idea that we might be valuing big gestures over real results, that's something to think about. What are the long-term risks if that trend keeps going? What kind of AI development does that encourage or maybe discourage?
Well, you could end up with a market that has incredible infrastructure, just tons of compute power, but maybe a shortage of truly breakthrough, profitable applications solving actual problems. It kind of shifts the focus from what works to what scales, almost regardless of the immediate return. Ultimately, it could inflate a sort of bubble impressive tech that struggles to find a sustainable business model. It might push companies to just acquire more GPUs rather than meticulously develop and prove the value of their AI first. It's a risk-reward thing that could reshape everything.
Fascinating look at the economics behind it all. And this Oracle deal, how does it fit into that win-win-win strategy we've heard about for Microsoft, OpenAI, and Oracle?
Oh, it's quite clever, really. A masterclass in managing risk strategically. Look, OpenAI desperately needs extreme-scale GPU infrastructure. These are the specialized chips for the intense parallel computing AI needs. They need it to keep pushing research.
Right.
Oracle provides that, a reliable, huge capacity solution. And they get a massive client. Microsoft, meanwhile, keeps its exclusive access, first refusal on OpenAI's models. Mm-hmm. But crucially, without taking on the huge financial risk of owning and managing all those GPUs themselves, those things depreciate fast.
Okay.
Like OpenAI gets the compute power it needs, Oracle gets the business, and Microsoft keeps its strategic edge without the full hardware investment burden. Everyone kind of wins by offloading certain risks.
Smart. Navigating risk in a high-stakes game. And risk isn't just in boardrooms, is it? It's increasingly shaping daily life. So let's switch gears.
They're definitely finding real time savings. But 68% report saving between 1 and 5 hours every week. And that reclaimed time, they're putting it into creating more differentiated learning, you know, tailoring lessons to individual kids and strengthening connections with students through more personalized stuff. And importantly, most feel confident using it effectively around 79%. That's key for it actually working well.
That sounds incredibly positive, a potential game changer for teaching. But I imagine with any powerful new tool, especially in a classroom, there has to be a downside, right? What are the main worries?
Absolutely. Benefits are clear. But yeah, the biggest worry for both users and non-users is students becoming over-dependent on it. That's cited by about 45% of users. And then, of course, plagiarism. That's a big concern, too. Around 44% of users mention it.
Yeah, makes sense.
But there is a pretty broad consensus, which is encouraging. 87% believe students must learn to use AI ethically. And 79% feel AI tools need teacher supervision. It's that classic challenge, giving powerful tools while teaching wisdom and responsibility.
So it's not just tech in the classroom, it's potentially reshaping education itself, maybe helping with teacher retention, but also demanding really careful thought about ethics for the next generation. Okay, from the classroom, let's go to government. Albania appointing an AI bot, Diella, as the world's first virtual cabinet member. That sounds like pure science fiction.
It certainly had that feel, doesn't it? Diella's job is to manage Albania's public procurement system, which has historically had issues with corruption. The idea is this digital system will gradually take over managing tenders, evaluating bids, even hiring experts. The big goal is transparency in public spending, driven partly by Albania's ambition to meet EU standards.
An AI minister designed specifically to fight corruption. Wow, that's bold. Fascinating experiment. But I can't imagine everyone's just accepting it without question. Is there public skepticism?
Precisely. Citizens have, quite rightly, raised questions about accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, who's responsible if something goes wrong? And can a virtual minister, no matter how well programmed, truly stay immune to manipulation or unforeseen algorithmic biases? It's definitely groundbreaking. Mm. Makes you wonder, can AI genuinely boost transparency and fight corruption? Or does it just introduce new, maybe less obvious risks to public trust and democracy?
It's just fascinating how broadly AI is being applied from national government. Let's shift to personal health. We're seeing AI in things like the Apple Watch now, right? The FDA approved a hypertension alert feature.
Yeah, this is a big step for proactive health monitoring. It works in the background, analyzing patterns over 30 days. If it detects patterns suggesting high blood pressure, it notifies the user. Apple's very clear, though, and this is important. It's an early warning, not a diagnosis.
Right, not a replacement for a doctor.
Exactly. It's meant to prompt a conversation with your physician, and they recommend confirming with a traditional blood pressure cuff. It's on Apple Watch Series 9 and newer, and the Ultra 2, but the watchOS 26 update.
So it's about empowering you, giving you an early heads up that could genuinely impact your health long term instead of just waiting for symptoms. That's a powerful use of AI for personal well-being. Now, as AI gets woven deeper into life, the challenges also grow. Let's talk safety, authenticity, starting with something really serious. Child safety. The U.S. FTC is probing tech companies over AI's chatbots and kids.
This is absolutely critical, and yeah, it's getting intense scrutiny. The FTC is looking into 7 big tech firms, Meta, OpenAI included, specifically about child safety and how they monetize these AI chatbot companions. This follows some deeply disturbing lawsuits alleging chatbots encourage kids towards suicide after users found ways around the safeguards.
Oh, wow.
Regulators are also examining company policies, like a Meta document that apparently permitted romantic or sensual chats with kids until the media reported on it.
That's incredibly disturbing, raises immediate red flags. What exactly is the FTC asking these companies for?
Well, FTC Chair Andrew Ferguson talked about the dual challenge. Protect kids online, but also allow innovation. He pointed out chatbots can uniquely mimic human characteristics, emotions, and intentions, acting like a friend or confidant. This builds trust, especially with kids and teens. So the FTC is demanding details on how companies mitigate harms, monetize engagement, track users, share data, monitor outputs, approve chatbot characters, use disclosures, and crucially, how they enforce their own rules. It really brings up fundamental ethical questions about developer responsibility when AI interacts so intimately with vulnerable users. How do we balance innovation and protection?
It's a tough balance. Absolutely needs to be handled transparently and with strong oversight. And sticking with authenticity and trust, we're seeing this new challenge, AI-generated content farms. There's a startup making over 3,000 podcast episodes a week using AI hosts. That volume is just hard to grasp.
It is. Janine Wright's company, Inception Point AI, runs this huge Quiet Please podcast network, 5,000 shows. They're churning off stuff on everything, local weather, super niche hobbies. And the efficiency is wild. $1 per episode takes about an hour start to finish, profitable after just 20 listeners. They pick topics using search trends, SEO, powered by 184 different AI agents and models. Think of them as specialized AIs. One researches, one scripts, one does the audio, all coordinated.
That's so efficient. It's almost scary. I can just imagine the reaction from human creators. What's the broader implication of this scale, this flood of automated content?
Well, Wright defends it, calls critics lazy Luddites, and dismisses calling it slop. And look, it undeniably makes content creation accessible to almost anyone, lowers the barrier. But it also raises real worries about just overwhelming the market. Will listeners be able to find quality? Or just get lost in the sheer volume? It forces us to think about what we mean by human creativity, authenticity in a world filling up with AI stuff. Will listeners crave that nuanced, imperfect human touch, or will quantity and algorithmic relevance just win?
It really makes you question what we value in media. And as the market changes so fast, regulators are also moving. We saw some significant actions this week, right? They're definitely paying attention.
Exactly. Microsoft, for example, dodged a big EU fine. How? By proactively unbundling Teams from Office 365. They're offering cheaper versions without Teams now, ensuring competitors can still interoperate. That's clearly a response to antitrust pressure.
Smart move by them.
Then you have Google shutting down Tables, its Airtable competitor, telling users to move to Sheets or AppSheet. Shows how fast-paced and, frankly, ruthless this AI-driven market can be. And a big one for intellectual property. Encyclopedia Britannica and Merriam-Webster are suing Perplexity, the AI search company. They're alleging copyright infringement, saying its AI summaries divert traffic.
So these actions really highlight this ongoing tug of war. Regulators, traditional content owners trying to grapple with the power, the data practices, the IP issues of big tech and these new AI tools. It's a complex battleground. But let's end on a definite high note. Something showing AI's pure problem-solving ability. I was genuinely blown away by the news that an AI solved a math proof that had stumped humans for months.
This is where you really see the wow factor of AI, its power and pure reasoning. Math Inc. introduced this AI system called Gauss. It solved the complex strong prime number theorem in just 3 weeks. This was a problem top mathematicians had been wrestling with for 18 months, making only what they termed intermediate progress.
18 months versus 3 weeks.
Exactly. Gauss worked autonomously, didn't just find the answer. It produced 25,000 lines of verified math code. Over 1,000 interconnected proofs within that. It's like it built this entire logical structure from the ground up way faster than any human team could.
That's an incredible amount of work, a profound demonstration of its reasoning power. Think of all the frustration, the dead ends humans hit for a year and a half, and then an AI cracks it in weeks. What's Math Inc.'s vision now? With tech like this, where does it lead?
Their plan is to massively expand this mathematical code like 100 to 1,000 times bigger in the next year. The goal, create huge training data sets for what they're calling machine polymaths and ultimately verified superintelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about one math problem. It shows AI's potential to speed up human understanding in fundamental fields, math, science, by orders of magnitude. Could unlock solutions we haven't even thought of yet.
And maybe on a more personal level, AI can accelerate your understanding too, right? We saw a practical tutorial about combining tools like Notebook LM and ChatGPT to learn subjects faster.
Yeah, this is a really direct, actionable way you can use these tools right now. Imagine taking dense material like a research paper or a difficult chapter, uploading it to Notebook LM. It can instantly give you summaries, mind maps, video overviews, even full study guides, Q&As, essay prompts, glossaries.
That's pretty useful.
Then, to really get it, you can use ChatGPT. ask it to find the confusing bits in the text, and then quiz you on those concepts. Turns passive reading into something much more active and interactive.
Right, transforming dense info into personalized study aids, making learning more efficient for you. Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive, what's the takeaway? We've seen this incredible duality today, immense potential, breathtaking advances, pushing boundaries, but also alongside them, significant ethical, economic, societal challenges that we really need to pay attention to.
Indeed, it's a fast, transformative shift, touching every sector. Education, government, health, even pure science.
Absolutely. So as we finish up, here's something to think about. As AI takes on roles from government ministers to solving math proofs, generating tons of content, where do you draw the line? The line between innovation and responsibility? What's the ultimate cost of progress if we don't address these challenges head on, making sure our tech leaps forward hand in hand with our ethical wisdom?
It's a profound question. It needs careful thought, ongoing discussion as we navigate this exciting but very complex future together.
A powerful thought to leave you with. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll be back soon with more sources to unravel.